Pākehā Tapu Day by J. Whittemu Cain. Ngāti Toro, Ngāti Manu, Te Mā Hure Hure. Koro Rārika, 1828. Mawhiti and Uma found their papa on the beach giving orders to his men. It was early. Tamanui Te Rā had barely risen above Tāpeka Point, his rays catching the first smoke rising from the cooking fires and the masts of the whaling ships anchored in the bay. Although it was Sunday, the whole village was awake. There was work to be done. The missionaries across the inlet at Marsden Vale called Sunday the Sabbath. The twins' papa, the great Rangatira Uruti Te Whareumu, called it the Pākehā Tapu Day, when the Europeans rose late, put on clean clothes, and left off work. Mawhiti and Uma had their own name for such unusual behaviour, but it was too rude to share. Papa and his men were with the waka taua. The great canoes lay in wait above the high tide line while Papa readied his people for war. His mana was so great, the Europeans called him King George, the name of their own king on the other side of the world.
Tēnā koe, Papa,
Mawhiti called. Papa smiled.
Tēnā kōrua, he said. About time. We're hungry.
For the next hour, the twins ran between the beach and the kāinga, relaying messages and fetching tools and kai. At 13, Mawhiti was on the cusp of being assigned her own duties. But for now, she ran the errands of a child. Her mama had given her a kite filled with cooked fern root and fish to hand out to the men. She went to Papa first.
Are our Pākehā still asleep? He asked.
Mawhiti nodded, then waited while Papa sucked at the fern root's jelly and spat out the clinging fibres.
Tino pai, but keep an eye on Mr. Earl. I think he's starting to suspect something.
His house was quiet when we went past, said Uma.
Good, said Papa. It will be a while before he stirs. We'll take our tea on the beach. If you could bring it to us, please.
Mawhiti gave a nod, but she saw a worried look flash across her brother's face.
Aye, Papa, she said. As soon as Papa went back to work, Uma turned to his sister.
Papa's tea set, he hissed. We left it at Mr. Earl's last night. Then we'll just go and get it, said Mawhiti.
Me haere tāua.
The artist's house lay at the far end of the beach. It was the largest of the whare built in the European style, a three-roomed cottage with windows and doors. The men in the kāinga had helped to build the house. They considered it as much their property as Mr. Earl's. And King George and the other rangatira visited every night. They drank tea while the Europeans enjoyed their wine and rum, and they all smoked pipe after pipe of tobacco. Mawhiti would carefully pour the tea while Uma sneaked sugar cubes from Mr. Earl's china bowl. On any other day, the twins would have walked in and taken the silver teapot and milk jug and the mismatched cups with their saucers after a polite knock on the artist's cody door. But Mr. Earl had been exhausted the night before. The circular conversation, in its rough combination of English and te reo, had gone on and on. Mawhiti remembered the way the artist's eyelids had drooped as the evening wore on.
Surely you men need your rest, Mr. Earl said at one stage. It was the closest he'd come to asking his nightly visitors to leave. You have much to do tomorrow.
But Papa had shaken his head. Tomorrow is your tapu day, so we leave off work out of respect to our Pākehā friends. You are too gracious, Mr. Earl replied, bowing slightly. Uma had glanced at Mafeti and smirked. Now they stood uncertainly at the front door.
Do you think Mr. Earl meant it when he said he'd teach us to draw?
Uma whispered. He was just being polite, said Mafeti. You know he and Papa like to outdo each other, and Mr. Earl is still making up for his hen. A few days earlier, the artist had needed tinder for his fire. He had taken Tōtara shavings from the beach, not realising they came from a wakataua and were tapu. Mr. Earl had apologised profusely. He was pardoned, and that would have been the end of it. Only one of his hens had also turned some of the shavings into a nest and hatched a brood of chicks. Mr. Earl was mortified further, and the hen duly sacrificed and eaten. He'll be missing his eggs, Uma said, sniggering at the memory. Shh, Mafeti hissed as the front door swung open. Mr. Earl stood blary-eyed in his trousers and shirt sleeves. Mafeti had never seen him without a jacket and hat. He looked almost naked.
Oh, he said. Tēnā kōrua, my good prince and princess. Why are you up so early on a Sunday?
We've come to fetch Papa's tea set, Mafeti said.
Of course. Come in.
Mr. Earl was their Papa's favourite Pākehā. Many of the rangatira in the north had Europeans living under their protection, but King George of Kororareka was the only one to house a renowned artist. He was also special to Mafeti. The whalers were coarse-tongued, and the missionaries had no time for children, but this Englishman was different. In the evenings, as the shadows grew long, he would sketch the taua returning from their waka or the gardeners from the Mara Kai. He'd set up his easel in a quiet spot, and he always welcomed Mafeti to sit alongside him and observe. She marvelled at the way the artist was able to capture the slaves pounding fern root with just a few deft strokes of his pencil. Uma found the tea tray and started looking for stray cups and saucers. But Mafeti was distracted. Every surface was covered in sheaves of paper. Some had beautiful flowing handwriting, the rest were sketches and paintings. Mafeti recognised the drawing of her older sister, Arihia, her lips shaded, and another of the tattoo artist, Arangi. The lines and spirals on his mataora had been copied exactly. There was also the drawing of the slaves Mr. Earl had started on a few days before. He'd added low huts and raupō fences and had begun to colour the sky using watercolours in soft blues and white. The hills were now gold and green. Mr. Earl noticed her inspecting the painting. What do you think?
The colours are too dull, Mafeti said after a moment.
Mr. Earl laughed. You're right. I can't seem to capture the intensity of the light here. I doubt the people of England would believe it, even if I could. He tried, unsuccessfully, to hide a yawn.
Well, you two had better be off back to bed.
Mafeti blushed. Why did the man look so amused? Was Papa right? Had he guessed?
Sorry to wake you, Mr. Earl.
Not at all, he said.
Your father needs his teapot, especially on the Sabbath. In all my travels, I've never met a king quite like him.
Back on the beach, the tāne were busy patching and caulking the wakataua. Then there were muskets to be cleaned and oiled, and barrels of powder and cartridges to be counted. In the fields beyond the kāinga, the wahine had kumara and corn to harvest, peaches and melons that needed picking. There was flax to be dressed, potatoes and hogs to be prepared for sale to visiting ships, fish to be dried and fowl preserved for the upcoming voyage of the tour. But all that work would stop the moment the first pākehā stirred. Carefully, Mawhiti poured the tea. "Everything in order?" Papa asked. Mawhiti nodded. "Tino pai." Note: this story is based on fact. The author is the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Uruti te Whareumu. The English painter Augustus Earle really did live in Kororareka in 1828 under Te Whareumu's protection, and the rangatira was called King George. Earle is thought to be one of the first artists to travel the world independently. He was definitely the first European artist to visit Aotearoa. He'd met Māori in Sydney and was curious to learn more. Te Whareumu had good relationships with the missionaries and traders. He welcomed all Pākehā, regardless of their status, to live on his beach.